Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha, Text 18. Aishvaram, Shastram, Utsrija, Banda, Mokshanadarshanam, Vivikta, Padam, Agyaya, Kim, Asat, Karmabir, Bhave, Aishvaram Shastram Utrija, Banda Mokshanadarshanam, Vivikta Padam Agyaya, Kimasad Karmabir Bhave, Aishvaram Shastram Utrija, Banda Mokshanadarshanam, Vivikta padam agyaya kimasat karma birbhavet aishram shastram utrija bandamokshanadarshanam Vivikta padam agyaya kimasat karma birbhavet. Svayam Shastram Utsrija Pandam Mokshanadarshanam Paramagyaya Kimasad Karma Birbhave Aishram Shastram Utsrija Vaishnavis. Sat karma beer bhavet. Aishwaram. Bringing understanding of God or Krishna consciousness. Shastram, the Vedic literature. Utsrija, giving up. Banda, of bondage. Moksha, and of liberation. Anadarshanam, informing about the ways. Vivikta padam, distinguishing spirit from matter. Agyaya, not knowing. Kimasat karma bi bhavet, what can be the use of temporary fruit of activities? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni had spoken of a swan. that swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literatures, shastras, vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. The swan, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, what will be the result? Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is very eager to present Vedic literature in modern languages, especially Western languages such as English, French, and German. The leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. A sane man, however, can see that all such grand activities, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with eternal life. The entire world is imitating the materialistic civilization of the West, and therefore the Krishna consciousness movement is very much interested in giving the Western people knowledge by translating the original Sanskrit Vedic literatures into Western languages. The word vivikta-padam refers to the path of logical discourses concerning the aim of life. If one does not discuss that which is important in life, one is put into darkness and must struggle for existence. What then is the benefit of his advancement in knowledge? The people of the West are seeing their students become hippies, despite gorgeous arrangements for university education. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is trying to convert misguided, drug-addicted students to the service of Krishna and engage them in the best welfare activities for human society. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, the people in the West are seeing their students become hippies. This Krishna conscious movement is trying to convert to hippies. So I don't know. In the 1970s, when this was written, there were a huge class of young people called hippies. Does anybody remember them? Some. and then there were yuppies after that. And then, I don't know, what are they called today? That doesn't seem like there's any name. Beer drinkers? slackers? What do they call them? There doesn't seem to be any big name for the young people. Huh? That's from the 1990s. There was Generation X, Generation. So he says hipsters. I'm not sure. It hasn't become a very. Slackers. Hackers. A few of them, anyways. But it, despite all these suggestions, it really doesn't seem that there's any widely accepted name for what young people are today. So, whatever they are. Huh?
Geeks.
Okay, so if we're going to translate this into contemporary terminology, then we could say the people of the West are seeing their students become geeks. Is that good or bad? I don't know. Are people still misguided? Misguided they could be, right? Drug addicted? Are they? A lot of people drug addicted still. So, yeah, the Krishna consciousness movement then does have a responsibility to put these young people, students, whatever they're called, or whatever they call themselves today, on the right path, especially, you know, the students in the Western world. As Srila Prabhupada is saying here, the leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization. Because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. So, Srila Prabhupada wrote this in the 1970s, and still true today that, you know, the Americans and the Europeans, however people may scream about them from time to time, you know, go into the streets and demonstrate against them, burn their flags or whatever, still, they're the idols of modern civilization. Because what are they doing? They're doing their protesting on Facebook, which is an American invention. Student named Mark Zuckerberg, he invented this Facebook program. So that's huge all over the world. You know, people are communicating through it, bringing down governments, whatever. It's something, you know, that comes from this sophisticated ability that, you know, the Americans and Europeans have to make arrangements for modern technological civilization. And you just see all over the world, they are, you know, imitating. You can go to any big city all over the world, whether it's Tokyo or Beijing or wherever, Bangkok, Rio de Janeiro, and you see all the same, you see the same shops, the same fast food stores, the same kinds of highways, the same kinds of media. People are dressed the same. They're wearing shirt and pants and shoes and skirt and whatever. You know, people have adopted, you know, the Western dress, the Western technology all over the world. Even go to, you know, Vrindavan now. They have four-lane highway with big signs, just like you see here on the 405 or the I-10, those big green signs, Govardhan, 10 kilometers, like that. So they've Radhakund, 15 kilometers, right? It's, you know, they've, you know, the jet airplanes are there, Boeing jet airplanes, Airbus airplanes all over the world. And people have just adopted. You know, the culture, American films are all over the world, European films. So, Srila Prabhupada wrote this in the mid-1970s, and it's still true today that the Americans and Europeans are the idols of modern civilization. English has become the world language. If anybody wants to succeed in business or science or entertainment, basically they have to learn English. So our acharyas long ago, they recognized this trend. Lord Chaitanya had predicted that Prativiti Achayati Nagarati Gram Sarvacha Prachara Hoy Mimoranam. He predicted that while the Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world, but if that was to be true, if that was to happen, then there'd have to be some adjustments. Because obviously the whole world wasn't Bengali or Hindi speaking. So as early as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was recognized that if Krishna consciousness was going to spread all over the world as Lord Chaitanya desired, it would have to be done in different languages, and that there would be effects from this. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was predicting in the late 19th century that, you know, he could foresee how this would happen, that preachers would go to the West. You know, he even sent his books to the West in English language, and he was predicting that someday the people in the West, the Americans, the English, the Germans, the Russians, would be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. They'd be performing sankirtan in the streets of their cities, and then they would come to India also and join, you know, with the people in Mayapur, you know, chanting in the streets of Mayapur and Navadvip. So this vision was passed on, you know, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj, who also wanted this to happen, and you know, he was prepared to take, you know, necessary steps. When he met Srila Prabhupada as a young, when Srila Prabhupada was a young man, he instructed him to go to the West. So sometimes, you know, Krishna makes unusual arrangements for things to happen. And for example, Krishna arranged, you know, that, you know, the British would come to dominate India and establish their education system there and train people how to speak English. maybe there's some arrangement there. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada was educated in Scottish Churches College, you know, which was a British college, you know, established in Calcutta. So there he learned English. He learned about Western science and philosophy, and and then he was, you know, he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in at the Gaudiya Math Center in a place called Ultadanga in Kolkata, on the roof of a building there, and that building is still there. And there he was ordered to go to the West to spread, you know, Krishna consciousness. And eventually he did that. You know, he prepared himself for 40 years, and then, you know, he came to the West with his books translated into the English language. And, you know, began the Krishna consciousness movement. So, you know, it's very interesting how Krishna arranges things in this global world that we now live in. It's very interesting that, all right, you know, the Europeans had come to dominate India, train the people to speak English. So, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took this devotee of Krishna who'd been trained in the English language, and then sent him to the West. It's a very good idea. You can see it was a very successful idea. And then it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada had also tried to start this movement in India before he came to the West. He'd established a society of devotees, but wasn't very much interest among the young Indian people. You see, he's always emphasizing the youth here. It's very important. If the Krishna consciousness movement is going to continue, it has to continue to be spread through each generation of young people. Or else it's not going to go on. Eventually you'll just be left with a few old people ringing the bells in a temple. And so somehow or other, it has to be passed on to the younger generation. And yeah, Srila Prabhupada did that first in the West. As I said, he tried to do it in India, but yeah, he would be asking his contemporaries, you know, men that he knew, Vaishnavas that he knew, you know, asking them, "Yes, you have several sons. Give me one son to train as a devotee." Nobody would give him a son. But then he had this idea, again, you know, it's very interesting how things happen in this global world, that yes, India had been transformed by the Europeans, especially the British. So they were very eager to pursue the idols of modern civilization. They were giving up their own culture. So Srila Prabhupada thought, okay, well, I'll take some of these Western American and European people that I've converted into devotees of Krishna, and I'll take them back to India. It's amazing how things happen. And then it kind of caught the attention of the Indian people. Well, here are idols, you know, the Americans and Europeans, taking up this Krishna consciousness. And that had a huge impact in India. When Srila Prabhupada went back with his American and European disciples, the Indian people took notice, especially the younger people. So now in India today, the Krishna consciousness movement is attracting huge numbers of young, intelligent, educated Indian people. So it's very important that, you know, the Krishna consciousness movement have, you know, programs for attracting the younger generation of people in the West, in the American and European countries, and in India, and also all over the world. Now there's, although the West Europeans and the Americans are still very dominant in the world, there are other centers of power that are starting to emerge. There's a group of countries called BRIC, B-R-I-C. Brazil, Russia, India, China. They're the new block of countries that's attracting a lot of attention in the world. They call them the BRIC countries. Brazil, Russia, India, China. Because they have most of the world's population and most of the world's resources. And their economies are developing at a huge rate, whereas the economies in America and Europe are experiencing a lot of trouble these days. So maybe in the future there'll be, you know, maybe if the events of, you know, maybe if Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada were existing a century later, you know, they, you know, if they were thinking about where to send people, it might not be America anymore. But but still at the present moment, although there is trouble in the West and these other countries are rising up, still I think it's true that the leaders of the Western world, the American and Europeans, are still the idols of modern civilization. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, as he said here, the Krishna consciousness movement is very eager to present Vedic literature in modern languages, especially Western languages such as English, French, and German. So here in Los Angeles, you know, we have, you know, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which is tasked with the responsibility of spreading the Vedic literature in the Western world and English language, at least here in North America, in any case. So that's a very important service, you know, the production, distribution of these transcendental literatures. And also there are BBT divisions for, you know, printing and distributing these literatures and the other European languages and other world languages. So Srila Prabhupada is stressing the importance of that. And Srila Vyasadeva is stressing the importance of that here in, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not that we've just invented some modern marketing strategy. You know, this is a fundamental aspect of Krishna consciousness, that people have to pay attention to the instructions that Lord Krishna gives in the Vedic literature. If they don't, and they just dedicate themselves to temporary fruitive activities, then what's the use? You know, they're not making any real progress. They're simply remaining entangled in the cycle of birth and death. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Yashastra vidam utsraja vartite kama karata nasa sadim avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. Those who reject the Shastra, as, you know, Srila Prabhupada is saying here in the translation and purport, Aishram Shastram Utsrija, it's practically the same words. Yashastra Vidam Utsrija. Those who reject the instructions of Shastra, Vartate Kamakarata, and just behave according to their own whimsical ideas, their own ideas motivated by a desire for material sense gratification, what happens to them? Nasasadim avapnoti. They don't attain the real perfection of life. You know, the real perfection of life is not to have all kinds of sophisticated material facilities. The real perfection of life is to escape the cycle of birth and death. So one has to understand, what's bandha, what's moksha? What is bondage, what is liberation? People are talking about liberation movements, freedom movements, but they don't understand what the real liberation is. They don't understand what real freedom is. Real freedom is freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Real liberation is liberation into the eternal pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they had mistaken ideas of what these things mean. So nasa sadim avapnoti, nasukam, you don't get real happiness. We can see that despite so much material facility, people are not really happy. You know, they may experience some temporary titillation of the mind or the senses, but because they're not satisfying the deeper needs of the soul, they always remain frustrated and unhappy and have to take shelter of different types of intoxication. Or if they don't do that, if they don't take illegal intoxicants, then they go to a psychiatrist who gives them some legal drugs, you know, to try to solve their problems. And, you know, this may be necessary, you know, to some extent. You know, if people are suffering mentally, they have to try to do something about it. But the real solution lies at a deeper level. And the Vedic literature points people in that direction. So nasasadim avapnoti, nasukam na param gatim. So people don't attain the real perfection, the real goal, the real happiness. Shruti Smriti Puranadi, Pancharatra Vidimvana, Akantaki Hariya Bhaktir Upatyai Vakalpate. So even in devotional service, we have to be very careful that we are following the directions of Shastra. It's not always so easy. Lord Chaitanya, it's said about Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Apani Achari Bhakti Koil Apani Achari Bhakti Shikainu Sabare. It's said in a few different places in different ways, but the essence was Lord Chaitanya recommended the process of becoming perfect oneself and then preaching to others. And Srila Prabhupada says, if you're preaching something but not following it yourself, then the effect isn't going to be as great. So these instructions are meant for us too, not just for, you know, the people outside, that we say they have to follow the principles of Shastra. We also have to follow. So I'll stop there. I went a little over time, so just stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.